This is Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, homosexuals and the law. Tonight's guest, an anonymous attorney from the Mattachine Society, an organization of American homosexuals. Night Call is your program. Share your opinions and ideas with the rest of the country. Speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Night Call in New York City from anywhere in North America. Here are Night Call's special phone numbers. From the East and Midwest, call collect at area code 212-749-3311. From the West at 212-749-3357. And from the New York area at 866-5010. Now from New York City, Night Call's host, Del Shields.
Good evening. Our Night Call program tonight is about the homosexual in our society. We realize that the subject and even the word homosexual are in that fringe area which many would rather ignore in the hope that the subject would somehow vanish. But we also believe that homosexuals are people. They are capable of love. They are moved by hopes and fears. They contribute to society. They have a need of acceptance and friendship. The homosexuals are a small minority in a society which has often denied that minority the same rights enjoyed by the majority. Can or should the homosexual have freedom and equal rights? Are they unjustly persecuted by both the law and public opinion? Or is the majority simply protecting itself? And how can the homosexual be helped by a society that is pledged to protect and nurture the individual's rights to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? Our guest tonight is a lawyer who represents the Mattachine Society, an association of American homosexuals. He is the first lawyer in New York City to accept the cases of persons accused of homosexual acts. Our guest remains anonymous to protect his rights and privacy. So, to avoid confusion on the air, we will simply call him Mr. Guest. Mr. Guest, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
And thank you so much for being with us. Let's begin our conversation tonight with this question. Just what is a homosexual?
A homosexual is an individual who, in his sexual acts, prefers the company of a member of his own sex.
Well, when we speak of homosexuals, are we talking about both men and women?
Both men and women. Women are generally called lesbians.
Do you have an idea of how many homosexuals are in the United States?
I don't know how many there are in the United States, but it is reported that there are about 500,000 in New York City.
Many persons see homosexuality as a social condition that requires treatment. Do homosexuals want to continue being homosexuals, or do they welcome help in trying to change?
That's a very difficult question. My observation from having represented almost 2,000 homosexuals in the course of a long career in the law is that the average homosexual only regrets being a homosexual in the fact that society treats him more or less as an outcast. As far as his own personal conduct goes, I don't think the average homosexual regrets being a homosexual.
We mentioned the number of homosexuals, and you stated that you a figure of 500,000 possibly in New York City. Why such a high figure? And I'm only saying high, assuming that we have more homosexuals in New York than in other parts of the country.
Well, I think because in New York, the average homosexual who is not a born New Yorker comes from outside of New York to New York because he feels that this is a place where his identity as a homosexual is not known. In a small town where there aren't so many, he may be known for being a homosexual, whereas in New York, he's just one of millions.
You are, sir, the first lawyer in New York City to accept cases of persons accused of homosexual acts. Are there more lawyers finding the law possibly more understanding about homosexuality, and possibly there are others who may defend homosexuals?
There are, perhaps, in New York City, I would say there are perhaps five or six who handle a great many homosexual cases. Curiously enough, two of those are women.
How does the homosexual stand in convictions for other crimes, like murder, for instance?
I don't think that you can draw a line as to whether a murderer is a homosexual or a heterosexual. As a matter of fact, I would think that in murders, homosexuals are less prevalent than heterosexuals, because the average homosexual abhors violence.
Based on your experience and your knowledge of the homosexual, do you see any particular profession that a homosexual should be deprived of working in?
Not at all. A homosexual, I think the false theory that the homosexual is a bad security risk has no basis in fact. But I'll tell you what is, I think, most unjust. In New York City, and I hope in the not-distant future it will be changed, the records of arrests and convictions are open to any employer. And most of the big companies, and the banks here in particular, when a man applies for employment, there's a question on most of the employment blanks: have you ever been arrested? Now, many people have been arrested and found innocent and acquitted, and yet if the individual puts down yes, and then they ask of what, and he says disorderly conduct or loitering or some similar offense, then the employer checks down at the court, and if they find that there's been a homosexual slant to the offense, whether he's acquitted or whether he's convicted, he won't get the job, and I think that's very unjust. 2 years ago, a bill was passed by the legislature making it a misdemeanor for any employer to ask such a question: have you ever been arrested? You can't ask that in court. You can ask, have you ever been convicted, but you can't ask, have you ever been arrested, for the reason I gave you, that many people have been arrested but found innocent. Governor Rockefeller vetoed the bill. I'm told that his legal advisor advised him that the bill was drawn in such a way as was unconstitutional. That bill will be introduced either in the coming session or the next session, and I hope it passes. You can see how unjust it is to deprive a man of a living because he's a homosexual. And another thing, if bonding companies investigate and find a man is a homosexual, they refuse to bond him on the ground that he's a poor security risk, which I think is quite ridiculous.
Are homosexuals damaging or threatening to our society in some way that causes people to be hostile to them?
Society is hostile to homosexuals because of the long historical belief that homosexuality is a sin dating back to the Bible and Sodom and Gomorrah. Fortunately, in our present more sophisticated society, slowly but surely, society is beginning to realize that a man's individual private sexual acts but the man himself.
This is Night Call in New York, and tonight our subject is homosexuals and the law, and our guest tonight is an anonymous attorney from the Mattachine Society, an organization of American homosexuals. And a reminder to our listeners that Night Call is your program, and when you call in earlier, well, that gives you a chance to get your conversation and your comments on. Our telephone numbers, if you're calling locally in New York, it's 866-5010. That's 866-5010. If you're calling from the East or the Midwest, our telephone number is area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. If you're calling from the West Coast, it's area code 212-749-3357. That's area code 212-749-3357. We'll welcome our first caller tonight, a local call. Mr. Rauch, who was hearing Night Call over WLIB-FM in New York. Mr. Rauch?
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
My question deals with not specifically homosexuality in the law, but with homosexuality in general as far as a misconception some people have. I've had it a long time myself until I found out, and that is effeminacy is usually associated with homosexuality, but I believe the general public doesn't realize that also many not-so-effeminate people, such as athletes, are homosexuals themselves. And I thought maybe you could say a little more on this subject to clear it up.
Well, my experience in the vast number of homosexuals whom I've represented is that a very small minority are effeminate. In fact, I've been astounded at the masculinity of most of my clients. And answering your question, I think you're quite right. Many heterosexuals are effeminate, and still they're not homosexuals.
Right. The conception of the homosexual as being a homosexual out of a want to be that way. Do you find that the most of your clients have explained their homosexuality due to a direct thought and want to be a homosexual, or that because in some way they have been repulsed from heterosexuality? Could you answer?
No, I would say that, of course, I'm not a physician, and I don't have the sort of discussions as to their mental processes or their Freudian traits that a physician might have. But I would say offhand that practically no homosexuals whom I have represented have expressed regret that they are homosexuals. They've expressed regret that they've been accused of a homosexual act, but they haven't been sorry that they're homosexuals.
Well, I'd just like to end our conversation with heralding you for a statement you made earlier, that is that whatever kind of relations people have, whether hetero or homosexual, that's their business, and the law has no business interfering with that. I think that's a great idea, and I hope you can do something to get some of the old laws, the puritanical laws, off the books that are on.
Thank you.
Right, thank you.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York, our conversation tonight, homosexuality and the law, and our guest, an anonymous attorney from the Mattachine Society, an organization of American homosexuals. We'll take our next call from St. Paul, Minnesota. Miss Milner is hearing Night Call over WPBC-FM. Miss Milner? Miss Milner?
Yes?
Good evening. Your question, ma'am.
I would say this, that there are higher laws than man-made laws.
That there are higher laws than man-made laws.
Or there is a higher law than man-made laws, and God is not mocked.
Well, what is your question, ma'am?
I wish to say this, that those that commit such things do not go to heaven when they die.
All right. Thank you for calling, ma'am. Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. We'll return to our guest, an anonymous attorney from the Mattachine Society, an organization of American homosexuals, right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and an anonymous attorney from the homosexual Mattachine Society after station identification.
Ever since I joined the Army, one buddy or another is always asking me what I really want, as if my being black made things different for me. It doesn't. I just want people to remember I fought for my country and never forget it. I won't. When I get out of uniform, I want to go home to more than nothing. I don't want sympathy or charity. I want to make it on my own. I want a decent job. I want to be able to get married and support a family. I don't expect miracles, but I won't settle for a broom.
It isn't easy to get by in cities these days, for blacks or whites. Our cities need help, your help. If you think there's nothing you can do to help, think harder. Send for the free booklet, The Turning Point. Write Night Call, Pomona, New York. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself, collect from anywhere in North America to an anonymous attorney from the Homosexual Mattachine Society about homosexuals and the law. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to our Night Call conversation tonight, Homosexuals and the Law, and our guest is an anonymous attorney representing the Mattachine Society, an organization of American homosexuals. This time we'll go out to New Orleans. Mr. Marshall is hearing Night Call over WDSU. Mr. Marshall?
Yes.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. I'd like to ask Mr. Guest a question. How do you go about establishing places for your people, your homosexuality, homosexuals to be? Where do they go? And why do they go to these places? To what extent do they use sex itself?
To what extent? What was the last part? To what extent what?
What satisfaction do they receive from this particular sex? Where do they go to receive it?
Well, homosexuals go to the same places heterosexuals go, but there are certain bars in New York that have a majority of their customers are homosexuals, and those homosexuals who like to go to bars go there because they find other homosexuals, I presume, and they can exchange their views freely, and that's about the only place I know where homosexuals go, other than the ordinary places where heterosexuals go.
I see. Do you think that homosexuality is growing in the male population?
Very much so.
Do you believe that it's growing in the adolescent or more in the, that of over 21?
I think it's growing more in the adolescents. I think the average homosexual by the time he's 21 has been a homosexual, let us say 3 or 4 years.
Do you believe, sir, that the homosexual will ever find a true place in society?
What?
Do you believe that a
Will you talk a little louder?
Do you believe that a homosexual will ever be accepted truly in society?
Well, that's a very difficult question, and I'm not a prophet, but I would say that in New York, the average homosexual do you mean knowingly? Do you mean by straight people knowing he's a homosexual?
Right. Will he really be accepted in society?
Well, the average homosexual is no different from the average heterosexual, except in his sex preferences. To my knowledge, homosexual. much more freely accepted in society in New York City than they were, let us say, 5 years ago. This is probably due in a large measure to the frequency of plays depicting homosexuals, the homosexual in literature, and the general discussion in intelligent society about homosexuals, which is giving society a different viewpoint as to what a homosexual is.
Mr. Marshall, thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. Tonight, our subject and our conversation, homosexuals and the law, and our guest, an anonymous attorney representing the Mattachine Society, an organization of American homosexuals. This time out to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Mr. Bryan is hearing Night Call over WAMO-FM. Mr. Bryan?
Well, what do you say to the theory that homosexuality is just an extremely complicated neurosis, that there is absolutely no such thing as a happy homosexual? In other words, someone once said that, show me a happy homosexual, I'll show you a gay corpse.
Yes, I know that. I know that.
Do you think there is such a thing as a healthy homosexual?
Yes, I think the average homosexual is very happy, enjoys being a homosexual. There are extreme cases of homosexuals who are extremely neurotic, there are extreme cases of heterosexuals who are equally neurotic. I think that the average homosexual, as he grows older, loses his neurotic tendencies and is just as healthy a person as the average heterosexual. Certainly the well-adjusted homosexual is in every way as happy as a well-adjusted heterosexual. Let me stress again that the real only difference between a heterosexual and a homosexual is in his sexual preferences. Aside from that, he's just the same as any heterosexual.
Yeah, but you make it sound as if homosexuals choose men the way some other men choose redheads over blondes, and there are many psychologists who would disagree. Now, if homosexuals are happy, then why do they cruise as much as they do? I mean, why is it there is no such thing as stability within this world?
Well, that isn't true. There are many homosexuals who are just as stable as heterosexuals. There are many homosexuals who have found a companion whom they live with for many years.
Yes, but they all cheat. I mean, this is a...
Well, don't heterosexuals cheat, too?
Yes, but homosexuals cheat with a greater frequency. And there's all... Why all the scenes? Why all the, you know... The
why
jealousy?
All the what?
Scenes, threats, recriminations, jealousy, like that, you know.
You mean between homosexuals?
Yes, yes. There seems to be more violence, more arguments, more spats, more masochism, if you will, between them than between heterosexual
partners. I haven't seen it.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York. Tonight, our conversation is homosexuals and the law, and our guest is an anonymous attorney representing the Mattachine Society, an organization of American homosexuals. This time out to New Orleans, Mrs. Schenck is hearing Night Call over WDSU. Mrs. Schenck?
Yes?
Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Shields. How are you?
Fine, thank you, ma'am.
Good.
Your question.
I would like to say this to your guest tonight. I do not feel anyone should lose their position because of the fact they may be a homosexual. But I do believe a homosexual or a sex pervert should not be responsible for the lives of another person. And I do not feel that they should hold a high position in our government.
How do you feel about that, Mr. Guest?
I think it's utter rot. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I've stressed, if you've been listening to this program, that aside from their preference in sex, homosexuals are no different in their thoughts, in their responsibilities, in their aspirations than homosexuals, than heterosexuals. And therefore, there's no reason why there should be any discrimination against homosexuals in employment.
Well, I still feel the way, this way about them holding a position in our government. I thank you for talking with me.
No, Mrs. Schenck, are you saying any position or are you saying critical position?
I don't think they should be a congressman, a senator, or have a position in the White House or the Capitol, so to speak. I'm not an authority on these matters. This is just my opinion.
Thank you.
I don't think they're altogether responsible.
All right. Thank you.
That's my opinion. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling me.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York, and our conversation tonight, Homosexuals and the Law, and this time to Austin, Texas. Mr. Cannell is hearing Night Call over KUT-FM. Mr. Cannell?
Texas. And, sir, I'd like to find out about the legal status of gay bars as far as your rights are concerned when you're in them, and also the fact of payoffs, as well as whether police have the right to close down a gay bar.
Is your question, does a policeman have a right to close gay bars?
Mm-hmm. And how are they allowed to exist, gay bars, their legal status?
Gay bars, so-called, are the same as any other bars. They serve any customer who does not commit a disorderly act on the premises. If everybody in a so-called gay bar behaves themselves, they're not violating the law. And those bars are not interfered with by police because they're not violating the law. If there are overt acts in the bar, then so-called homosexual acts which occur in public, and a bar is a public place, violate the law and the bar gets into trouble. But there's very little of that done today in New York.
Well, down here in Texas,
the customers in a so-called gay bar are just as well behaved as in a heterosexual bar.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wondered about dancing and other laws about touching.
What?
We do things different here in Texas. Sometimes we have dancing and things like that. I've heard about payoffs.
Payoffs to who?
To the police.
By who?
By gay bars. And I wonder.
Bars themselves?
Pardon?
You mean by the owners of the bars?
Well, things like that. I mean, as far as the police are concerned.
Payoffs by the owners of the bars to the police?
Yeah, I've heard things.
Is that what you're asking me?
Is your question, Mr. Cannell, whether or not there are payoffs given by owners of bars to the police? Is that your question?
Correct.
Not in New York. Because, as I said, if the bars are run in an orderly fashion and no overt acts take place on the premises, there's no reason why the owners of the bars would have to pay the police.
Correct. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, sir. This is Night Call in New York, and tonight's conversation, Homosexuals and the Law. We'll take another call, this time from... Oh, not enough time? All right. We'll return to our guest, who is an anonymous attorney representing the Mattachine Society, an organization of American homosexuals, right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and an anonymous attorney from the homosexual Mattachine Society after station identification. Next week on Night Call, a black South African expert on apartheid, a Jewish expert on the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, the founder and former head of the Congress for Racial Equality, a San Francisco minister to tell us what we have to be thankful for on Thanksgiving night, and psychoanalyst Eric Frome. Monday, South African political science professor Winton Nagin from Virginia Polytechnic Institute. Tuesday, social worker novelist Julius Horowitz. His latest book is called Wasp. Wednesday, James Farmer. Thursday, the Reverend Cecil Williams, Minister of Community Involvement for the Glide Memorial Church in San Francisco. And Friday, Eric Frome on Hope and Love. All this next week on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself, collect from anywhere in North America to an anonymous attorney from the Homosexual Mattachine Society about homosexuals and the law. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And welcome to the Night Call stations who join us for the second half hour each evening. Tonight's conversation on Night Call is Homosexuals and the Law, and our guest, an anonymous attorney representing the Mattachine Society and Organization of American Homosexuals. Mr. Guest, during the first half hour, you contended that homosexuality is on the increase. Could you give us the reasons?
Well, an answer which a sociologist could answer better than a lawyer. I can give you my opinion for what it's worth, and that is that firstly, I think that a great many homosexuals today became homosexuals as a result of experiences in the Army and Navy, where they were stationed at posts or places where there were no women. And a natural sex urge forced them to take whatever sex was available to them. While it's true that many of them who had many homosexual experiences in service did not continue those experiences after they were discharged, nevertheless, a great many of them did, and they made friends with other persons who had little sex experience, and they were introduced to those homosexuals, and apparently they liked the experience. And then, too, I think, as I said before, that until very recent years, homosexuality was a thing that was spoken of, if at all, with bated breath. Today, it's so freely discussed and shown in all the various media of communication that a lot of people who never even knew about it have thought, well, I wonder what this is. I think I'll try it. I think that's one of the reasons for the increase.
Do you see prisons as also responsible for the increase?
Prisons?
Right.
Yes, I think from what I've read and from the few prisoners whom I have represented, I think homosexuality is rampant in prisons.
This time out to Indianapolis, Indiana, Mr. McCullough is hearing Night Call over WTLC-FM. Mr. McCullough?
Yes.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. My question is there a high or low percentage of homosexuals who are married to either women heterosexuals or men heterosexuals?
Well, from my experience, I would say that there are many homosexuals who are married. In most cases, they did not realize when they were married that they were homosexuals. They were what are called latent homosexuals. And after a few years of marriage, the homosexual urge in them became very strong. And that has resulted in many divorces and much unhappiness.
I see. Thank you. I'd just like to say that...
Can you talk a little louder?
Oh, I'd just like to say that I wish there was more people who would spend time like you do to help one of us homosexuals than to condone us. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, sir. Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. Tonight, our conversation, Homosexuals and the Law, and our guest, an anonymous attorney representing the Mattachine Society, an organization of American homosexuals. We'll take our next Night Call guest from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Mr. Foster is hearing Night Call over WTMJ. Mr. Foster?
Yes, Dell, you got a wonderful program.
Thank you, sir.
And we listen to it every night here.
Thank you very much,
sir.
You've got
a good following here in Milwaukee. Now, what is the man's, the attorney's name?
We will not give his name,
sir. Oh, yeah,
sir.
I beg your pardon.
Right.
But the attorney who he's representing, from my experience and personal experience, I've driven part-time cab at various times. I can tell you my son drove part-time too. And there was a well-known radio man and television man. And he had him in the cab. He came home and told me this. And he says, "Dad, so-and-so, you know, I took him up to the Astor Hotel." Maybe I shouldn't have named the hotel.
It's all right. It's no longer existing.
I'm not giving any names up. that he propositioned me and wanted to give me $20 to go up to his room. Now, what have you got to say to that, Mr. Big Attorney? There's a lot of other things that I could tell you, too, from driving cab myself at the YMCA here. And if they're listening in, there was one fellow playing your organ there. I didn't want to get involved. And he was considered a homosexual, too. We cab drivers all know him. Because we know the spots that they hang around here in Milwaukee, there's quite a few of them. And another thing is, I had a psychiatrist in my cab, and I asked him about that situation of what, how they get that way and all that. And he told me the whole story, and he told me in time to come, here at the county hospital, I told him, I says, "Why don't you get those people together and do something for them?" Well, he says, "In time to come, and get them together, you know, and so forth, and do something for them." He says, "We're going to make it the county hospital here. We're going to have one floor, see? And the police department, they don't want to have the police to do anything about it, you know, because..." He says, "If we try and get them that way with the police," he says, "they're going to get where we won't be able to get them when we want them, when we have that one floor to put them there to try and correct them. So, Mr. Big Attorney, how would you like to come home and have your son say to you that you were propositioned and so forth like my son was?"
"Well, how would you like your son to come home and say that a prostitute propositioned him? Would you feel less about it?"
"A prostitute?"
"Yep."
"Well, I think I'd feel a little better about it."
"Why?"
"Huh?"
"Why?"
"Because there's a difference."
"I see."
"From my viewpoint."
"All right."
"Well, the only thing I can tell you is that there may be an occasional homosexual who would do a thing like you said, just as there is an occasional prostitute who would do the same thing. There's no difference whether there's homosexuals or heterosexuals."
"Well, it's a matter of..."
"There are bad apples in every barrel."
"Yeah.
But you shouldn't judge all homosexuals by the fact that one of them did something that was reprehensible, any more than you would judge all heterosexuals by the same token."
"Well, I don't know. But from my viewpoint, I think they're a detriment to society, from my viewpoint, from my experience. And we meet a lot of them. I'm not driving cab now anymore. But I'll tell you one thing, that if they got to correct them, okay, correct them. But from my viewpoint, I don't know."
"Are you in favor of attempting to correct them, sir?"
"Why, certainly, if they can correct them, absolutely."
"Well, when you say correct them, let me answer you this way. When you say a physician correcting a homosexual, all a physician can do, and all that any psychiatrist or psychologist or whatever you call them, analyst, all that a physician who is sincere can do, and they do, is to make them better adjusted so that they can take their place in society without being hampered by their sexual habits."
"Isn't there any medicine that they can take or something like that?"
"I don't know."
"I don't know either."
"Mr. Foster, thank you for calling, sir."
"All right, thank you, Dell. Keep up the good work."
"Thank you very much,
bye,
sir.
Bye.
Thank you." This is Night Call in New York, Homosexuals and the Laws, our conversation with an anonymous attorney representing the Mattachine Society, an organization of American homosexuals. This time we'll take a call from Washington, D.C. Miss Smith is hearing Night Call over WAMU-FM. Miss Smith?
Yes?
Good evening.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Your question, ma'am.
I would like to know, this is a very naive but at the same time practical question. What should a girl do, or woman, if she suspects her boyfriend to be a homosexual?
Well, that depends a great deal on your attitude towards homosexuals and what you want of your boyfriend. If the boyfriend is a friend that you're hoping to marry, and
yes,
you think that he is a homosexual, and you've got definite proof of it, then my advice to you would be not to marry him,
right,
but to find a heterosexual, because I don't think either of you would be completely happy if you were married.
But what if she doesn't have proof, just a suspicion, because of some actions? What should she do? I am sure that you have been confronted with such problems and would probably be able to advise
me. Well, let me ask you this. What grounds have you for suspicions?
Well, suppose,
what are the actions that caused you to be suspicious?
Suppose that this guy is not as aggressive when it comes to man-woman relationship as you usually find. And this is the only thing that you would sort of suspect.
Well, let me ask you this much. There have been plenty of women in my life who were not nearly as warm as others, and yet I didn't suspect them of being homosexuals.
Yeah, I know. Well, do you feel that a homosexual, if he and he is playing the role of heterosexual, would he be offended if you were to ask him the direct question?
No, I don't think he would be. Not if he were a sensible man.
Very good.
On the other hand, if he's a homosexual, and is making paying marked attention to you, and you expect a proposal, and from your question, that's what I think you have in mind. Maybe wrong. If that's the case, and you have suspicions that he's a homosexual, then ask him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ms. Smith, thank you for calling, ma'am.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York, Homosexuals and the Laws, our conversation tonight with an anonymous attorney representing the Mattachine Society, an organization of American homosexuals. And we'll take our next call from Mount Vernon, Washington. Mr. Wise is hearing Night Call over KUOW-FM. Mr. Wise?
Yes.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Your question?
Yes, I'd like to know if there's a stage between homosexuality and heterosexuality where a person can enjoy relationships with both sexes.
There is, as there are many men who enjoy relationship with both sexes.
Okay, I don't know if this has already been asked. I think it's been touched on. But it seems to me that I've read someplace where athletes have a greater tendency to become homosexual than just the average man in the street, because his body has been conditioned and built up, and he learns to love his body. And if he works out in a gymnasium or something like this, he'll extend this and learn to love other men's or women's bodies, as the case may be. Does this have any basis to...
Well, I think the reason that some athletes become homosexuals is that they are told so much during their athletic career that they must be very careful not to incur venereal disease. And I think that they have a sex outlet with men because they have less fear of
getting venereal disease. I don't know whether it's a fact, whether it's true that there's a greater prevalence of homosexuality among athletes. But if there is, I can see that as one of the reasons.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, sir. This is Night Call in New York, Homosexuals and the Law is our conversation. We'll return to our guest, an anonymous attorney, following station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and an anonymous attorney from the Homosexual Mattachine Society after station identification. Tomorrow night on Night Call, Black co-star Greg Morris of CBS Television's Mission Impossible and of Broadcasting Have Soul. Broadcasting, network, as well as commercial producers, is doing a lot better than it used to. You can hardly see a major series or any commercial nowadays that doesn't have at least one black face. And it is considerably more than tokenism. But is it soul? Or, you should excuse the expression, just an integrated part of the white man's bag? And what, for that matter, do white network programming executives know about soul? And should they even realistically be expected to, anyway? Does Broadcasting Have Soul? With Greg Morris, who co-stars as Barney on Mission Impossible, tomorrow night on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to an anonymous attorney from the Homosexual Mattachine Society about homosexuals and the law. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-3357. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And we'll take our next call from Kansas City, Missouri. Mrs. Lewis is hearing Night Call over KPRS-FM. Mrs. Lewis? Mrs. Lewis?
Yes?
Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening. First, I'd like to say I listen to your program every night. I think it's real educational. I think it's nice to express your ideas.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
And I'd like to ask the guest whether he thinks that homosexuals should get jobs in plants or things like this, you know, where there are heterosexual people. Does he think this is okay?
Do I think, I'm not sure I understand your question, miss. Do I think that homosexuals should be employed in the same place as heterosexuals?
I mean, among what you would call, I guess, normal people. Do you think this should be acceptable in society, or should they have special jobs or places where they could work, where they would all be together?
No, I don't think so at all. If you listen to the beginning of this program, pardon me, I stated that homosexuals are no different from heterosexuals except in their sex pursuits. And that has nothing to do with their jobs. When a homosexual is at work, he's no different than a heterosexual. And therefore, there's no reason in the world why he should be discriminated against.
Well, what I meant by this was not necessarily that they're any different from other people, but what I meant was this. I've been employed in a huge plant where there were homosexuals, and you could almost, well, if you close your eyes or ignore it, it's bearable. But when it gets to the point where the homosexuals in the female line approach women and corner them in bathrooms and things like this, then I think it's time that something should be done.
Well, you're speaking of a certain type. You're not speaking of all homosexuals, right?
Well, this is on the, you know, the only dealing I've ever had to do with them, you know, was in working around them.
Well, if there had not been any encounter with the aggressive homosexual, per se, you would not have known if they were homosexuals or not,
oh,
right?
Yes, you would know it by their dress, their actions, and things like this. And they are. I have to agree with the caller they called earlier. They are, in my, well, what little bit of experience I've had with them, they are terribly aggressive and possessive.
Well, speaking as a lawyer, I have never had a case where that occurred, and I've had many witnesses in court for homosexuals as to their character who were the homosexuals' employers or fellow workers in the place where the homosexual worked, and besides the nature of a homosexual, the average homosexual carefully conceals his homosexuality, and I think that a homosexual would be the last to approach a fellow worker solicit him.
To conceal the fact that they're homosexual?
What?
How do you say a woman is concealing the fact that she's trying to be a man by wearing men's shoes, getting her hair cut like a man, wearing men's trousers, socks, shirts, jackets, and everything else? Their walk, their talk, they handle themselves like a man. They make it, to me, it's very obvious.
Madam, have you seen the pictures of receptions and parties in the papers, and have you seen the dress of women who are not in the least bit homosexual, but who wear pants and manly blouses? That's the style nowadays.
To wear these things, yes, but the way you handle yourself or the extent. Sure enough, a lot of the fashions nowadays, I think, are tailored to look like men's wear, but
you can't tell the boys from the girls.
A certain feminine air to them, to the point that you know that they are female clothes. But some of them wear men's wash and wear slacks or all this kind of stuff on jobs, out on the streets, and things like this. And really, it's so obvious. I think if you really open your eyes and look, you could tell in a minute, you know, a homosexual from one that isn't. With the men, it's very obvious. They wear their pants extremely tight. They do more twisting than the average woman.
We've gotten away.
We've
gotten away from your question, but I'm going to ask our attorney. Do you feel that there should be any kind of discrimination against homosexuals in employment?
I think it's very wrong because, as I've stated tonight several times, the average homosexual is undistinguishable from the average heterosexual. And he certainly...
How can you say, have you looked at these people?
This
average man walks down the street with everything on as tight as it can be, hair in curlers, even some of them wear pierced earrings. They're wearing loud colors and they twist more than any woman. How can you say there is no difference and you cannot tell a homosexual from a heterosexual? It's impossible. All you have to do is look.
Mrs. Lewis?
There are very few that you cannot tell, but the majority of them, it's so obvious that I don't see how could you say that you don't know that they're this way? They don't consider hiding it. I guess maybe they're proud of it.
You can't tell one homosexual in 1,000 from one heterosexual. There are extreme... Madam, will you let me talk? You're asking me a question. I'm trying to answer it. There are extreme cases in both heterosexuals and homosexuals. It's unfair to the great mass of homosexuals to pick out a few misguided creatures and hold them up as an example of the entire class.
Mrs. Lewis, thank you for calling.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take our next call from Louisville, Kentucky. Mrs. Gaines is hearing Night Call over WXVW. Mrs. Gaines? Good evening.
Good evening. I enjoy your program, and you're to be highly commended for it.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
You have interesting subjects. Now, this is... I can understand homosexuality being... say an illness or something that should be treated.
It's not an illness. The homosexuals don't consider it an illness. There may be extreme cases among homosexuals, just as there are cases among heterosexuals who require treatment, but they are very much in the minority.
I see. Well, then it's my error. It was a misconception there. What I was interested in is this. I have I've come in contact with a homosexual person in the female sex. Not for personal, but I did come in contact through some reason or another. Now, this is one thing I do not understand. You did mention their pursuit. And I do think they do have pseudo-conniving ways about them in order to pursue their subject. But when the subject, say, refuses their friendship, and they still insist, this is one thing that I cannot understand.
Well, I don't understand it either, because in my vast practice, I haven't encountered that situation. Listen, many men pursue women, and if they're terribly taken up with them, they won't take no for an answer, and they keep after them, hoping they'll change their minds. I imagine the woman you spoke of is no different than the average heterosexual.
Therefore, they still have that erotic feeling similar to a man, and they must pursue and get and not give up, like you say, similar to a man's feelings. Am I correct?
Mr. Guest?
I don't know, not being a female homosexual.
Well, neither am I, but this was then some connection. And I, for instance, I'll give you an example. I did approach this party and said, now you've got to lay off from this party. It's understood what you are. I sympathize with your condition, or I do think you should accompany other people. But this party, say, is insistent and will not give up.
Well,
now, this does surprise me.
All I can say is that the party you speak of is a very unusual type. The average homosexual wouldn't dream of pursuing his advances, his or her advances towards the person who repulsed them, because homosexuals are not aggressive, quite the contrary.
Well, this is true, what you did say right now. Unusual as far as character, poise, education, and probably does want to...
Mrs. Gaines?
Conquer.
Mrs. Gaines, yeah. I'm sorry, but time has run out on this.
Thank you so much.
Good thank night. You. Mr. Guest, we thank you so much for being with us tonight on Night Call. This is Del Shields in New York. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, Black co-star Greg Morris of Mission Impossible. And does broadcasting have soul? Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church. Presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition.